I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Football, energy drinks, beer, more football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Talk to Kent Swanson in the 6 o'clock hour as soon as I start the show in Draft Talk. As we talk draft each and every night that I do this show that Kansas State does not play. Interesting stuff. Interesting call from Kenan Springhill. I mean, I kind of want to give him prizes, but that's already been that's already taken place when I had prizes. Give him something, Cream Dog. Man, that's terrible. Honestly, I've always got something to say, but I did not know what to say.
In the same way.
I mean, I literally always have something to say, but I literally had nothing to say. Taking a bunch of calls through the years, but never that kind of call. I feel horrible, man. He passes away. He's a huge Chiefs fan right before the damn Super Bowl, man. Waited his whole life literally for this. He was, what, 68 years old? So he was 50. 18. When they, unbelievable. Dominic Foxworth was on Get Up this morning on ESPN, former player, former union chief before Eric Winston took over for the NFLPA. And he was talking about the CBA that I've been talking about, that the NFL and the players. This is going to be important. It looks like judge, jury, and executioner power from Roger Goodell that's going to kind of come back. And I think the players, for the most part, gave him that going forward. The players are going to love this CBA. Last CBA, they take it away. There's only 14 padded practices that the players can have through a 16-game season. It's a beautiful thing. They're going to take more of that away for player safety. Trust me, that's going to be part of this. The players will get what they want, and part of what they want is Roger Goodell to step back from having as much power as he does. If they're going to play 17 games, they're going to get paid for doing that game. But there's going to be concessions. The NFL makes a lot of money, and they'll continue to make a lot of money because they're getting ready to do the TV contract again. And if they get their way with more postseason games, again, I don't know why they need them. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But you know what? That almost guarantees the Chiefs, even with an 8-8 year, will still find a way in the postseason. So in the end, being a Chiefs fan with these new rules, not a bad thing. And especially getting the number one seed and being the only team in the AFC to have a bye. And keep in mind, there's not been a Super Bowl champion without that bye since 2013 that played on Wild Card Weekend. I mean, the numbers are insane for what that weekend means to have that bye. But here's Dominic Foxworth on basically is what it's probably going to take for the players to agree to this. Former chief of the Players Association turned it over to Eric Winston, but very opinionated on the subject.
It's not a situation where there is an answer that, I guess the kind of criteria that you normally use when you're making these decisions as a leader in a union, a sports union or any union for that matter, is like, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the membership. And to be honest, what's in the best interest of like the 50 to 60% of players who are on league minimum, what's in the best interest is to sign this deal. Those guys get a boost. Those guys do not lose a year of their career. I'm not sure if that's what's in the best interest of the body long term. So, like, if the players are willing to reject this deal, then you get to the next step. And what the next step is, and I heard Jeff talking about this earlier too, it's work stoppage, most likely. You're not going to get anything that you actually want unless you are willing to endure at least a year. Jeff said like 3 or 4 years, but at least a year of work stoppage. And the players who endure that, as Gojo, your dad, I'm sure, could tell you all about and probably has told you all about, the players who endure that are not the players who end up benefiting from that. So I understand why players and some of the big-name guys are kind of outspoken about why they would want to say no to this deal, and I probably would say the same thing, because 17 games just seems like something that you wouldn't want to do. But when you are in that seat and you have to make the decision that is pragmatic and practical for most of those guys, I think that it's obvious that you kind of have to vote for it, because what's on the other side of voting no? It's a protracted labor strike. And you know me, both of you guys, I've talked to both of you guys about the idea of decertifying the union. Like, I feel like the use for a union is kind of is no longer valuable. It's more valuable to the leagues than it is to the players in all the major sports. But it will be too late to do anything like that for the current players right now in football. So I think they're in a situation where they've negotiated for more than a year, and this is the deal that they've gotten. It's the best deal that they've gotten. It's certainly not perfect. No deal ever will be, but it seems like the kind of safer choice at this point would be to sign the deal, and because you don't know what's on the other side of saying no. And I mean, I was one of those guys. Jeff and I weren't exactly at the same time during the negotiations. I was one of those guys when we kind of got to the 11th hour and we were in this similar situation. Not quite the same because we were locked out, but you're in a situation where you have to make the decision. At that time, I said we should say no to the deal, and I was kind of advocating saying no to the deal and accepting that we would miss some games. But I was in a different spot. Like, I had already signed my second deal. I already had enough money that I felt comfortable doing that, and it's not the same. I look back on it now and kind of feel like I was being a bit arrogant, because if I were in the second year of my contract, I was a third-round pick, or the third year of my contract, like, I'd be flipping out because this is my career. And if we miss that, if I miss one season, then we're looking at another influx of rookies coming in, and it makes it harder for me to make a job and to make a career out of what I've dreamt of making a career of.
And this week coming down, the next couple of days, of course, this matters for Pat Mahomes. They get this deal done, look for this deal to be done with Pat Mahomes. Here's Foxworth, Dominic Foxworth, on if it's a good deal for the players, if this right now would be a good deal, are they going to reject it? Because, again, a lot of the players don't like this.
17 games is a lot of football, and it's a lot more risk for the players. So I've noticed, obviously, I think anybody who's followed sports in the last, I guess, 10, 15 years or so, there's been financial steps back for all the players in the major leagues. I think the leagues have gotten more sophisticated, and the players also recognize that their incentive is not. And I listened to you guys talk to Jeff earlier, and I think Gojo pointed it out, is that kind of a four-year cash grab. So the incentive for the players is not to withstand any sort of extended work stoppage, because they're not going to be able to recoup that money. Whatever gains they get from being strong in a strike or a lockout, like, those gains will go to the players that come after them, which I think is admirable. And that's what the union is built on. That's why the players make so much money now, is because so many players were willing to sacrifice in the past. But I do think that all the major leagues understand that now, and they take incremental steps back. This would be an example of the first union in a long time, major sports union, where the players will be taking a step forward financially. However, I'm not sure that they feel comfortable that the benefit is worth the cost.
Yeah, a lot's going to change. The CBA, then, of course, that new TV contract. It's no given that ESPN has Monday Night Football. There's talk about taking Monday Night Football and actually flexing it, because right now it's not flexed. The afternoon window games are flexed. Sunday night game is flexed. You name it. But with that 17-game, we're adding two playoff teams. They have seven in each conference. Just remember, since 2002, 28 of 36 teams to make the Super Bowl had a bye. Chiefs, Niners each had a bye this year. Teams in the last seven Super Bowls each had a bye. It was six before the Niners and the Chiefs made that total seven to have that bye. And this could be a good thing for Kansas City, because I think this is the new normal. I think it's the Chiefs every year fighting for that bye. And again, you look around this division. Where are the quarterbacks at? You know, the Chargers probably go quarterback with the sixth pick in the draft. What are the Raiders going to do at the quarterback position? We don't know. But the bottom line is, the CBA is interesting to me. I'm more interested, though, as a fan. Well, I guess this does matter. The playoffs do matter. Because, again, how are the Chiefs not going to be a postseason team? That's the question. Keep in mind, Andy Reid has had 3 losing seasons ever. That's it. That 1 year he didn't make the playoffs with the Chiefs was a 9-7 year. 9-7, which that record probably gets in the postseason. In the Patriots to win 11-5 1 year with Matt Castle, who had to start in place of Tom Brady, the Chiefs were enamored on and won at Matt Castle, they didn't make the postseason that year. But again, what kind of teams are you going to be looking for that seventh spot? It will make things interesting. And I think that bye will come down, and that'll be real interesting this year between the Chiefs and the Ravens, thinking about getting that first bye because the Chiefs were number 2 seed. You know, the Chiefs would have had to play. The Ravens would have had it off. The Chiefs would have had to play, don't forget. That would have been interesting to see what would have happened. But I'm for the bye. You know, the bye was helpful. Get the Chiefs. I mean, you get to the postseason, and they were fine. He would have made it in the NFC. The Rams would have made it at 9-7. That's who would have been the other team in the NFC this year.
I don't know. I'm optimistic about it. I'm not a big fan for it, but I mean, you should be
for it as a team.
I know, that's the thing. As a team of me liking the Raiders, yes, I should be a for this, but I'm not a big fan of it. I want to see the better teams get in there, the ones that grinded their way through, possibly win above 10, have 10 wins or so. I want to see that. Those are the teams that are more deserving. You know what I mean?
I can see what you're saying, but there's more chances to get in. Kansas City, the year that Andy Reid finished 9-7, whole bunch of teams finished 9-7. For the extra playoff team, who would it have been?
Right.
Chargers were 9-7. The Chiefs were technically ahead of them. Chiefs would have been. And then Houston was 9-7 that year. The Buffalo Bills went 9-7 that year. Didn't make the postseason, so a slew of teams were 9-7. It would come down to tiebreakers.
As long as we don't see a 7-9 team in there, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but you're going to. You see 7-9 teams win division.
It's 7-9
teams. You see 7-9 teams host playoff games.
Which is stupid.
Of teams that have won 10, 11, and 12 games.
Which is stupid.
I'm more for just reseeding it.
Yeah, just reseed it.
Reseed by year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The Chiefs in 14 beat Buffalo 17-13, so they'd be higher than the Bills. Beat San Diego twice that year. So they'd be ahead of the Chargers at 9-7. So they'd come down to Houston. The tiebreakers between the Chiefs and Houston in 14, who would have been in the postseason. But that's math, and we don't do math on the show, Kramer.
That's very true, we don't.
Crime Dog, the Fifth Avenue Challenge comes at the end of the show. But coming up next, my visit with Kent Swanson I had at 6:15 tonight about the draft, direction the Chiefs might go. We talk to Kent next.
Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley and the Crime Dog from the 785. My dad always talks about having me spread his ashes at Arrowhead, like at a tailgate or in the field. Seems crazy, but he always wanted to be at Arrowhead. Just don't hit anybody with them, you know? I mean, just tailgate? I mean, is that really where you want to put your dad? Maybe he wants it. You guys do what you got to do, man. That's all I care about. Kent Swanson, arrowheadpride.com, came on and talked draft with me. Here's Kent.
A very merry draft miss to you, my friend. It's a good time to be talking Kansas City Chiefs draft. It's a good time to be picking 32 because that means your team won the Super Bowl.
You know what?
A good time.
You know, it's not that bad either, Kent. I was just going by. This today kind of signifies, and you know, with the quarterbacks and tight ends and wideouts that arrived yesterday, today's the measurements. We've all seen the hand measurements going around Twitter. The hospital exams, interviews, you name it, goes on today. But I kind of see this as the kick. Even though they arrived yesterday, I see today as kind of the kickoff for the 2020 Chiefs. I do. I mean, 2019, yeah, it went fast because they win the Super Bowl, and there's not a lot of time between that and the NFL Combine. But to me, this today signifies kind of the start of 2020. Not sure how you feel, but to me, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, we had 3 weeks to really, you know, sit down and enjoy our Super Bowl title here in Kansas City. Got to watch replays of the game multiple times. And now, yeah, it's time to flip that switch and start looking ahead to defending, you know, that Super Bowl championship, trying to make it 2 in a row. And I do see this. You know, there's so much stuff that's going to happen at the combine. You're going to hear little rumors and nuggets about where players might be going and what's going to happen to certain players. You're going to get some clarity potentially on situations like Sammy Watkins and Chris Jones. So, yeah, this is definitely this is the kickoff on officially for the offseason to me.
I've seen a lot of talk with, Kendall Fuller and as far as Bashaud Breeland and Chiefs hitting that cornerback position. I'm like, what about receivers? You know, I've been high on the receiver position, Kent. And if Watkins goes elsewhere and DeMarcus Robinson, to me, that's a need, especially with this draft with wide receivers. But these mocks, going through these mocks, I've seen a lot of A.J. Terrells, the cornerback from Clemson. I've seen a lot of Jeff Gladney lately, the TCU corner. And now I'm starting to see Trevon Diggs, the corner from Alabama. That's the corners I see. Now, as far as running backs, like I've seen today, J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor. Now, the hot names were the linebackers like Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen before. As you're sitting here, who are you picking for 32?
Well, I think we need to move on from Patrick Queen a little bit because I think Patrick Queen is going to be gone in the top 20.
So, like, he's rising.
That kind of restricts what you're looking at. I could see him going cornerback still. I'm a little bit more worried about the cornerback position as far as where the Chiefs will be able to acquire somebody. And I think it'll be a little bit dicier in the back end of the second round being able to acquire one because I think there's some question marks here with Jalen Johnson going to do the combine and then is going to go have his labrum repaired. And, Bryce Hall is not going to participate in the combine, obviously, because of injury. So you've got some question marks, and I think you got to be a little bit nervous about being able to get a cornerback in the back end of the second round. And that's why I think you just go ahead and do it in the first round. Go and take one of these guys. Jeff Gladney or Christian Fulton or Trevon Diggs, there's good value to be had in the first round late. And I think I like the idea of looking at cornerback.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that as we go forward, you're going to start seeing a little more of that. And again, the wide receiver isn't pressing in the first round, Kent. I mean, we can go to the second round. We can go to the third round. I feel these receivers are around graded below where they would be normally. So if you're graded third round, I could see second round and so
right.
on and so forth with the wide receivers. Do you feel that the second and third, if the Chiefs don't draft a wide receiver in those rounds, it's a mistake seeing as that this might be the best receiver class since 96?
It just depends on if they grab one, period. And, you know, yeah, obviously the second and third round is probably a sweet spot there, but I think there's still going to be value to be had in day three. I really do. I think there's a chance that some of these guys that are maybe a little bit bigger, like a Michael Pittman might fall all the way down to day three, or Chase Claypool, something might be a tight end, going to fall all the way down to day three. And I think you're going to be able to find some good value at receiver pretty deep in this class. You know, maybe a guy like Courtney Davis from Texas A&M, I think his valuation is going to be all over the place. But he's a raw guy that has a lot of yard after the catch potential, has some promise as a route runner. Some of these guys could wind up falling way down the line. So the Chiefs should definitely address the receiver position at some point here, but they might even be able to get really good value in round four.
And I think it's going to be interesting because the wide receivers are the first up for the on-the-field workouts coming up at 3-10. People can watch that as the draft has moved to primetime. The defensive backs going on Sunday instead of the typical Monday. And Kent, did you pay attention at all today to the measurements, the hand size? All right, Mahomes was 9 1/4, right? People thought he had
small hands.
And he even tweets about it, like, I did okay, didn't I? Joe Burrow, the small hands, like Jared Goff. Do you buy into the hand size argument whatsoever, being a former quarterback?
So I don't want to completely stand for hand size Twitter, but I do think it matters to some extent. Not entirely, and I think you got to look at it by a case-by-case basis because I do think I unfortunately was a small hands quarterback. I think I was under 9 on my quarterback.
Have you measured your hands lately, Kent?
It's been a while. I might have to do it. I'll get back to you on what it is at this point.
What is Pete's?
Pete's got like a 7.5.
Okay.
Pete's like a 7.5. Okay. He's a tiny hands man.
Okay.
But I mean, I think you got to look at it case by case though. Joe Burrow he's got smaller hands, but it hasn't affected him at all. He's worked in high humidity. You know, he's worked down in LSU in that area, and that's a very humid area. I think it affects some guys differently. You've got to look at it by a case-by-case basis. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all either. I think some guys are able to deal with it without any problem. And Joe Burrow, very obviously, is a guy who did not have any issues with his hand size.
I also thought it was interesting. Pat Mahomes runs a 4.8 and a 40, the sixth fastest among quarterbacks. But that 20-yard burst was the best amongst quarterbacks at that 2017 NFL Combine. It, to me, that's more important than the 40, the 20 yards, right? How, what's your escapability? What's your burst out of the pocket? To me, that's more important for quarterbacks than the 40.
I think you see, I think that translates extremely well for what you're seeing with him on the field, because, you know, that burst, that ability to create that short area quickness, that short burst, that quick burst out of a pocket, out of a sticky situation, that has served him well. Yeah, the long speed's not there for him to sustain it, but that burst is part of what makes him so elusive. I think that you can attribute that entirely. And yeah, you know, he's not going to stride it out the rest of the way, but I think, you know, for what he is, he's a sneaky, explosive athlete. You can't be a guy like that that is able to have that kind of a creativity and escapability, a guy that is able to throw with such arm talent off platform in a variety of angles. You can't be a average athlete to do some of those things. So he's a sneaky, explosive player, and obviously it shows up on game day.
Kent, one national question for the local Chiefs. Do you think Joe Burrow falls to Chase Young in the number one pick?
I think Chase Young follows Joe Burrow?
No, do you think Chase Young passes Joe Burrow?
No, there's no chance. You're crazy if you don't invest in Joe Burrow. I love Chase Young. I think he is probably, I think he, as we're sitting right now, he's the highest rated player on our board at Arrowhead Pride. But Joe Burrow is, he's an exceptional quarterback. I would have him ranked probably in the last two drafts. I think he would be our QB1 for the last three drafts. He's an exceptional talent. He's gotten better over the course of the season. He's done some of the more phenomenal things that I've seen with an insane level of consistency, from accuracy, from placement down the field, production, you know, to all levels of the field, creativity in and out of the pocket, everything about him, mental processing. I am so impressed with this kid, and you got to take a swing on that quarterback 10 times out of 10, even though Chase Young is an exceptional talent.
And the best thing about it is where he's going to be drafted is going to be outside the AFC West and probably outside of the AFC.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's not have to deal with another great pass rusher until potentially a Super Bowl. But let's just be real. Washington is not making it to a Super Bowl anytime soon.
No, they're not. But they are going to take Chase Young as we see it. My draft needs, Kent, for the Chiefs: linebacker, cornerback, wide receiver, offensive line, and running back. That's the five I would do, although I would supplant running back with the tight end number two if that's the direction the Chiefs want to go. A guy with possible future catching ability, but first of all, blocking ability that could be tight end number two. They may take a chance, bring back Blake Bell. Not sure what they're going to do, but that's where I sit right now. It's linebacker, then cornerback. That can be flipped, and as we get close to draft, it might be corner, then linebacker.
Yeah, I think you've got the right idea there. There is a very clear top two tier. Those, the linebacker and the cornerbacks. It's going to be interesting how they navigate that whole situation with both those positions, and if they really focus on trying to address either in free agency. Frankly, if they address free agency at the cornerback position, they probably still need to draft one high. That's just the reality, because right now Charvarius Ward and Rashad Fenton are the only two guys under contract that had any significant playing time at all at cornerback for the Chiefs. So you've got to look to address that in free agency and the draft. Linebacker is going to be interesting, though. You know, we've talked about the guys like Patrick Queen and Zach Bond and Kenneth Murray. Those guys, there's a chance all three of those guys are gone before the Chiefs even pick. And if that's the case, you probably have to wait till later in the draft to address it, because there's really not a ton of guys. There's a big cliff after those kind of guys. So it's going to be interesting how they navigate those two positions. But I do think those are the two that they wind up taking.
No question. I think Queen rises. Murray's the guy that really popped to me from the Oklahoma Sooners. All right, final question for you, Kent. Does Brett Veach end up with more than five picks?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to wind up with more than five. I think it's probably going to wind up being for Chris Jones. I still lean that that's probably where they're going to acquire more assets. You could see him maybe acquire one with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. You could see him acquire one with Sammy Watkins. But, yeah, I would be stunned if they come into the draft with only five picks.
What would you say, a first for Chris Jones and maybe a third next year or even a second? I would look at Frank Clark as the bar.
I'm a little bit more pessimistic about that. Basically, if you look at the value of the Frank Clark trade last year, it was about the value of pick 24 when you do all the math and kind of look at get the entire package together. I think you're probably going to come in a little bit less for Chris Jones than that. I think you're going to wind up potentially a team late might give you your first-round pick. But my guess is on a team in the late 30s sending a second and some extra picks, maybe a 2021 third or something like that to try to add some value there. So that's kind of my guess. But that would be a significant asset for this draft class. You heard Brett Veach talking this week with the Chiefs website that, you know, this is a really, really deep class, and this would be a good time to have one of those extra early top 60 picks.
Kent Swanson's on his way to Indianapolis for the Combine. Follow Kent at Kent_Swanson for great draft stuff and his draft guide as well. Gum.co KC Draft Guide 2020, correct?
Yes, sir. If you use promo code LIVE, L-I-V, you can get for $854 to celebrate your Kansas City Chiefs in their world championship. The 2020 championship edition of the KC Draft Guide, we're really excited about.
How about $2 for second world championship?
Hey, you know what? Maybe we should circle back to that. We really just wanted to play with the 54. We really like the 54, so all of our discounts are ending in promo code with a 54 at the end because we're celebrating.
Hey, man, just give me one free one to give away, Kent. I'll do Kent Swanson trivia, and if you can name what Kent picks, at some point I will do the Kent Swanson draft guide. I'll do Kent Swanson trivia if you so let me.
I'll tell you what. Next time I come on, I'll come prepared to give away somebody a free guide. We'll hook that up. We'll set something up next time that I'm on, and we'll get a listener hooked up with a free guide.
Check out Kent Swanson on Twitter. His for the draft guide. I've retweeted the link as well. Make sure you check it out. One of the best draft guide, the best draft guide in the business, if you're asking me. Kent, have a great time in Indy, and we'll talk to you soon. There you go. There you go, Kent Swanson from earlier tonight. Weekly, not weekly, this is a daily draft talk show that we have. Kramer, you think I'm forgetting XFL, and I'm not. We're going to talk XFL, but I'm going to talk about the Kansas City Royals next. Vern does a great job on Thursday night. Make sure you listen to Vern's Hot Stove. 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Thursday nights. We come on late tonight. We follow Bruce Weber that's on after Vern. Yeah, we're the home of K-State, Royals, Chiefs, you name it. It's right here. But they give away opening day tickets, 6:10. I saw the dude with the opening day tickets, right? Promotions at him. And they were walking around with an envelope. And I said, what do you got there? What do you got there? It looks like you're either carrying a bunch of cash. Anytime someone's carrying something in a thick envelope that could choke a horse, you think they're either carrying money. I said, what is it? And he showed me their opening day tickets.
Interesting.
And I said, you do have gold. And you're walking around, seriously, with an envelope like you would cash.
Is that today?
Yeah, today.
So you saw Corey then?
I saw Corey because he had the opening day tickets. And I told him, I said, don't lose those, man. Don't leave those at the urinal. You know,
Why would he take those to the urinal, though, Bink?
People lose a lot of stuff there. We get emails almost daily from people leaving a phone, you know, at the urinal or the toilet or something. Like, people lose their phones a lot. They do. It's probably the grossest thing that we own as human beings, to be honest with you, because it replaced the paper. But we get emails on that stuff all the time. I was like, can you imagine them losing those tickets?
Surely
people would be honest about it and say, hey, I mean, if it's your company and you lost some opening day tickets, you would think someone would return them.
You would hope. You would seriously hope.
I would hope so. But regardless, let's talk Kansas City Royals. Brady Singer and Dayton Moore's hopes next. Bing at Night. And welcome back to Bing at Night, Jay Binkley. Kramer the Crame Dog. Huge thanks to Chris Katz from Channel 9 that joined us earlier. Actually brought the IQ of the show up almost to a point of ridiculousness, wouldn't you say?
I'd say so.
When people are a lot smarter than us or dress nicer than us, But he was incredibly humble. Incredibly humble. But he's got a TV job. You know, you dress up. I don't know what it is, Kramer, but we're kind of slobby, to be honest with you.
Fridays, you dress up at least.
We're in radio. It's much different.
Yeah, no one's looking at us in the camera.
I feel bad sometimes with TV guys when they see just how we operate. And I have to remind them there's no cameras. There's just none. We can dress how we want. Heck, half the time, Kramer doesn't wear clothes. But tonight he threw something on because Channel 9 came in, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a big deal.
At least you're not wearing your banana hammock today.
No thongs.
No thongs today, Bink.
No thongs. But
you put your Chiefs one away after the Super Bowl. Man, Good for you.
We just operate differently, you know? But Chris does the news, so he talks a lot. It's not like the sports guys that we have in all the time from the various stations. They always complain because the people that they don't like are the weather people. Because they steal their time. Honestly, they love coming in here where they can bloviate for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. They might get cut down to a minute if there's a storm coming. Oh, there's a tornado coming? Watch out. They'll take the sports right away. Not the news
Very
people.
True.
They keep their, because they'll be doing stories on the Twister. Weather gets, they do. They steal sports. And sports guys love to come on and talk. It gives them an opportunity to actually talk about the subject without being cut off. But there's a little war that goes on. A little give and take. Little, you know, maybe tripping in the studio between the weather and the sports guys. Because they all will complain about it, won't they? They'll all talk about the weather guys.
Yeah, they would. I can see it.
It's jealousy. Jealousy over storms. And I've brought in weather people before because I enjoy it because they make predictions like we make predictions. And the problem is when they're wrong, it's a lot better than me being wrong over a game because no one cares. Them being wrong, people care. Because they'll go to the store, buy their bread, their milk, you name it, they'll buy all that stuff. When we're wrong about a game, it's no big deal, but they cost people money. And I'll never forget about a decade ago, the weather people were calling for like the storm of the century on Super Bowl Sunday. And nobody went out. And all the weather was fine. And all the bar owners are sitting there like, where's all the people? Like the Chamber of Commerce was mad. And then later that week, I think they were too afraid to talk about the snow. We had like the worst snowstorm in Kansas City history, or top three. But I digress. You know, it's one of those things, man.
It is what it is.
But I love them, though. I'm an amateur weather guy because I love predicting storms. I don't know if you know this about McCramer, but the Royals. Like, Ned Yost used to – people think Ned knew storms. Like, Ned was very good at it. And Trevor Vance, the groundskeeper, was real good at it, too. But Ned, like, before the game, you asked him what it's going to do, and he'd tell you. Because he cared, because he watches the weather, because he cared about a starting pitcher, and they have to know the weather. I digress. That's too much information. But I will say this. Dayton Moore said this last week, and I absolutely love it. Listen to the tenor of what he's saying. If this doesn't make you happy as a Royals fan, I don't know what will.
Our position players, I believe, are really, really good and talented and continue to get better. But I think the most important thing to understand is this group is very hungry. And they feel like they have something to prove. There's an edge about them in this camp that I like a great deal, one that I haven't sensed in a few years. And so we're ready to go.
See, I love hearing that because Dayton Moore keeps it real. He says, I sense a hunger in this group that I haven't seen in years. Like, these are not words he says. Like Eddie Reed says, we're going back to Super Bowl. He doesn't just say things to be saying things. He doesn't. And Dayton Moore doesn't either. Brady Singer was on with Josh I was talking to Josh Vernier down in Arizona, and he was talking about the pressure to the big leagues. Remember Brady Singer? And again, I think we're going to be talking about the Royals draft class, those college pitchers like Lynch and Singer and Coar. And people said, what do we get for Kane and Hosmer leaving? Well, picks 33 and 34, they got Jackson Coar and they got Daniel Lynch. Well, Coar's not a top 100 guy. Lynch is, but he's right up there with them. But the fifth starter, could we see him? We're going to see him. All those years of watching like Sal Perez coming to the majors and Hosmer and Moose and all these guys, you're going to see that with the pitchers for the Kansas City Royals. Here's Brady Singer on the pressure to hurry to the big leagues.
I want to be there, of course. Everybody wants to be in the big leagues, but I want to stay there. So if that, you know, I want to learn as much as I possibly can and be 100% fully ready when I get there. And I want to stay in the big leagues. I don't want to shuffle back and forth and all that. That's something that a lot of people have told me. You know, to make sure you're ready in every single aspect of the game. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm working on everything I can. The mental aspect, obviously the physical aspect every single day. But I just want to make sure I'm 100% ready, and I will be. So I'm really looking forward to that.
He's going to be ready. I mean, he's a college pitcher that's been in the minor leagues now. I mean, he was in the College World Series two straight years, Brady Singer. And don't forget, we got Brandon Finnegan the same year he played in the World Series and the College World Series. They didn't win at TCU, but he played the College World Series and played in this World Series. And I was talking to Chris Katz about the fact that Ken Morrow, you know, played the same year with the Stanley Cup champion that he won the gold medal, which is incredible. But Brady Singer is going to be fun to watch. And again, these pitchers, but you get there and you want to stay there. Always remember, there's a pitcher right now on the Royals staff that's definitely had that shuttle. He's gone to Omaha and back. And, you know, one night I'm sitting there seeing him put some waters, you know, in that backpack. They didn't in the Gatorades. They didn't have that in Omaha. And I'll never forget Joey Gallo's first game on a road trip with the Rangers. And he's in that visitor's clubhouse, and we're talking to him. And he was talking about the fact they had Chipotle on the plane. And, you know, here's a superstar now that hits home run, but he was so excited about Chipotle on the plane. You'd be surprised. These guys don't make a lot of money in the minors unless you're a first-round pick and you get all that. Then keep in mind, even third-round picks get like, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 to sign so they don't go play football. But they don't get a lot of money per month. And up here, they get a personal chef because Major League Baseball says every team has to have a personal chef. And they always have it on the board. They're always fed by a local restaurant in Kansas City. And these are good restaurants. And the menu's right up there, visitors, clubhouse, and home. They're fed well at lunch, fed well at dinner. They're on the road half the time. They get a per diem. Life is good as a Major League Baseball player. They don't want to go back down. They don't want to go to Omaha. They taste the good life, and they want to stay here. Here's Brady Singer and what he found out about himself in his first pro season.
I think the one thing that I really noticed was, you know, the little scuffle I had in Arkansas when I first got up to Double A. You know, I just got out of High A. I was throwing really well. I felt bulletproof. And, you know, the game just smacks you right in the face. You know, you face some adversity. I think I had five stints there where I had, you know, just really bad games. But I think that's when I was at my best. That's when the mindset came into, you know, you can't just coast through anything. You can't just bring your, you know, normal stuff to the next level. It gets harder and harder every single level. So that's when you really got to put your head down and start working. And that's when I got in the coach's office and my pitching coach, Doug Henry. We sat down, we broke it all down, we did this and we did that, and really put my head down and went to work on getting better. And I knew I didn't have a doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to figure it out. So that's something that I really liked during this year. You know, I faced some adversity and I overcame it. Had some really good starts at the end.
Brady Singer, can't wait to see him. Coming up next, the Candy Bar Challenge, introducing Kramer to old candy bars. We will try the Fifth Avenue next. If you listen to the show, we've had about 10 of these. I find old candy bars and Kramer and I eat them. Where will the Fifth Avenue rank? Plus, the XFL. Man, I'm loving this league. We discuss that next.
Bing at night.
Welcome back to Bing at Night, Jay Binkley and Kramer. All right, Kramer, how many candy bars have we had?
We've had, well, this is our ninth.
Which ones have we had?
All right, we've had the Zero Bar, of course. That was the first one. Payday. Whatchamacallit. Score. Heath. Andy's Bar. Mr. Good Bar. A Mallow Cup. And now the Fifth Avenue.
Your favorite so far is the Score. Or is it Whatchamacallit?
No, it's Payday. Payday.
Right.
You can't go wrong without a Payday. But this one right here, Fifth Avenue, is going in at number two above the Score.
Is it?
Yes, this is my second favorite candy bar we've had on this.
Really? You know
this
what?
This thing is good, but it's completely unhealthy for you. It's bad, but it's so good.
It was introduced in 1936, 84 years old. Previous owners were Ludens. Now Hershey owns everything, don't they? Like, they always seem to be Hershey owning everything. They've really got them now. You know what? I watched something on one of those, maybe Smithsonian Channel or something. It was about Hershey, like going to the lab. Like, no one believed in his chocolates and what he was going to do. They said this bar is similar to the Butterfinger. Crunchy peanut butter in a rich chocolate coating.
Yeah, and I can see how that's like the Butterfinger.
You obviously like peanut butter because...
Oh, gosh, love it.
This, I mean, I don't see the Fifth Avenue ever crunched up in blizzards and these type of things. Like, I don't see this.
It needs to be, though.
It does. This would go good with ice cream. I mean, Butterfingers and Heath And the M&Ms seem to be the go-to when it comes to...
It's also good that this is not a year old that we're actually eating.
We did eat some old candy. The Mallow Cups, yeah, and I apologize for that. They were a good year old. Did you get sick, by the way?
I didn't. Did you?
I did not.
Okay, good. So we know that if you want to get a Mallow Cup that's a year old, you can eat it.
Hershey's did not buy this candy bar until 1986.
I think the Hershey's is the big conglomerate, if I can even pronounce it. It's this, all this chocolate in my mouth. Hershey's owns everything.
Says the bite. Now, keep this in mind. Despite not being advertised since 1993, this is from Wikipedia, that's never wrong. Whatever. The candy bar is still available in many smaller retailers. That's right. You can't find these at the bigger ones. The originals were topped with whole almonds. The new ones are not. So this used to have almonds in it when it was first introduced in 1936.
And I think I'd like it with almonds. I really do. I think it's like having it almost as if this is... The almonds probably be the XFL version of it, but this is the NFL version of the Fifth Avenue.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
According to, yeah, I get what you're saying. I guess it was first developed by the Curtis Candy Company, later manufactured by Nestle and Ferrara, before Hershey's. It owns everything.
Yeah, no, it owns literally everything. It'll make literally anything as well.
And as a distributor, just say Hershey's because Hershey's got everything.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup? Who has that one?
Good question right there.
Kramer, you're my producer. You're supposed to find this out. I'm just kidding, man. You can't.
You can't type that quick. Come on now, Bing.
You can't judge what I'm going to be talking about next. This would be a good ice cream candy bar.
Yes, I mean, it is part of the Hershey's, I'm pretty sure.
Milton Hershey.
Yep.
But I watched a story on Milton, like going to the lab, coming up with chocolate, because nobody believed in old Milton. Imagine the stocks on that before it blew up.
Well, it was introduced in 1928, so, I mean, I know you were around that time. Was the Great Depression around that time?
Kramer, come on.
No,
man.
No, Kling was around that time.
No, Kling was...
yes, he was.
Kling was born in the 50s. I was born in the 70s.
Right.
Kling was... Regardless, this is your second favorite candy bar, which is interesting.
Yes, it is the second, yeah.
Because we haven't, I mean, Whatchamacallit's kind of new. I guess that was, what, an 80s candy bar or so?
I think so.
The Zero Bar has been the oldest one, I think, 1920. No, the Mallow Cups Mallow were 100 years old.
Yeah, that one we had was 100 years old as well.
The one we had was pretty old, man.
It was pretty old.
The one we had was pretty old. All right, my friend, we've talked about this. You guys are obviously watching this, the XFL. Have you seen the numbers this week on week three?
They haven't released them out yet.
I know they went down week two, but that's to be expected because week one the numbers go up. St. Louis was loving the and keep in mind, ESPN's been covering the XFL. They've been putting the scores. I think even NFL Network does, but the NFL has no affiliation to the XFL. I like it. I like what they've done. The kickoff and punt return's actually up compared to the NFL. I think the NFL's watching some of these rules kind of close. St. Louis had their first. Now, they say, is St. Louis a football town or not? They had 29,000 in the Dome. Which I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been to the Dome many times for high school state championships. They don't do it there anymore. They do it in Columbia. It gets pretty loud. The Dome in St. Louis gets loud. 29,000 people can make it loud.
And it was loud on TV. You could hear it.
But you were like, yeah, it's sold out. But I said, no, dude, look at the upper bowl.
I said the lower bowl sold out.
But they didn't,
I never said anything about the upper
bowl. But they didn't show the upper bowl on TV. That was probably.
Because it was closed off. They weren't going to open that up until they see numbers from their first opening game.
It's a good place to play. I mean, do something. Yeah. It's just sitting there. That Dome is. You got to do something with that. I prefer when these teams play at smaller stadiums.
Like a soccer stadium?
Yeah, I think like Sporting Park would be perfect.
Oh, easily. We could easily put a team out there.
I've seen Division II football in there. It's been fun. I will say this, with the D.C. Defenders losing, and I thought that was the best team in the XFL.
Oh, I knew Wildcats were going to win that game.
They hadn't won one yet.
I bet it's Josh Johnson, man. He's a complete...
Did you expect them to be thrashed like they were?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be close, but I had the Wildcats winning that game. I want some money off of it, too.
You know what? My team is actually looking better now with Landry Jones. That's the Dallas Renegades.
Still can't beat the Battlehawks.
They played the Battlehawks without Landry Jones.
Yeah, but when they play them again later on this year, they will still win.
This weekend, Houston, Dallas. That'll be good. Houston's undefeated. 2-1 Renegades. No, Houston's at Tampa Bay. Excuse me. Dallas is at Seattle. New York is at... No, that was last week's games. This is week four. This week four coming up.
Week four.
Los Angeles at New York, Seattle at St. Louis, Houston at Dallas. Still, that'll be good for Dallas. Good game there. D.C. at Tampa Bay. Easy game for
D.C. The Battle of Texas. Houston
right.
versus Dallas.
It's a Battle of Texas. The quality of football is not bad, man.
There's
P.J. Walker's turning some heads. Now, we need to stop with the Pat Mahomes comparisons, but...
Well, did you see Diana Rossini pretty much adding in some adjectives that are Mahomes-based?
Oh, there's a lot of Mahomes talk with this.
Oh, yeah. No, they're throwing a lot of adjectives using Mahomes' name, which is, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's what you should do.
I'd like to see the ratings where Kansas City is in the market. I know ABC shows some of the XFL. I would like to see the ratings on this. Kansas City, in the first couple of games, were right up there. It was the only city without a team still watching, which I don't know if it's the buzz, but I'm pretty sure this town just likes sports. It's like why we do so well in the Olympics. Yes. And Kansas City was watching the Super Bowl, the top five market for the Super Bowl, where I mean, it didn't matter the Chiefs weren't in it or whatever, they'd still watch it. Columbus, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio, actually doing very well. They might have to consider that because they do. St. Louis is the only market without a football team because they went to markets that had professional football.
I still love the fact they were chanting "Kroenke sucks." That's perfect.
Well, I remember they outdrew the Blues 2-1,
which is insane.
To me. Yeah, the Blues fighting for number one seed. The Blues are the Stanley Cup champions. Maybe because the Battlehawks are new.
It's a new
St.
favorite
Louis,
toy.
They supported the Rams for a little bit after the title, but you would be shocked how many fans in St. Louis are actually Chiefs fans. It's like the second largest ticket base for the Chiefs.
Well, you can see the Chiefs fans wear their Chiefs hat at the game.
Well, it's why they have the games on KMOX radio. It's why they show the preseason games in St. Louis. They were up for grabs. Indianapolis could have grabbed them. Kansas City. It just made sense with that whole Missouri thing and with the Blues and the Royals. But I don't know. Kansas City found that market. They sell a lot of Chiefs stuff there. You go to any rally. It's back when the Rams were there. Now they were leaving, right? It was like Chiefs stuff all over those rally houses. Because I would go there looking for Blues stuff or whatever. It was always one of the stops because I'd go down to a Blues game every single year because I like the NHL. Hopefully we'll get a team at some point. I wouldn't count on it, though.
Not anytime soon.
We can only wish. We can only hope. Thanks to Kramer for producing the operation. Thanks for Fifth Avenue, the candy bars that we purchased, by the way. There's no advertisement for them. They don't advertise. It's been like since 93 since they've advertised.
This candy bar was from 93.
That's right. This was fresh, though. This wasn't like our Mallow Cups that were old. Thanks to Chris Katz from Channel 9 for joining us. Thanks to Kent Swanson on his way to Indianapolis for the Combine for joining us tonight as we talk draft each and every night. Which, you know what, Kramer? I'm going to keep this bad boy up. We're going to talk draft every night until I get one of the Arrowhead Pride guys to break my direction because I'm staying linebacker number one. Can be convinced for corner, though. But it's J.K. Dobbins, the hot pick. Jonathan Taylor, the hot pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. But anyway, the Combine this year on primetime television, which I think is really interesting that the NFL is doing that. Anyway, good night. We'll see you guys Wednesday night because K-State plays tomorrow.
Big at night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.